tonight want to begin a study on what it means to be saved. Now, all of us understand, as Christians, the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is in, you heard me in the message this morning, it's the cross. Everything that has to do with the cross has to do with our salvation. But now, once you're saved, what does that really mean? As Brother Randy tortured me with that subject matter, and the more that I looked into it, the more that I can see why it is important for us to get a deeper understanding. We will never totally understand any of the salvation process totally until we're out of this body. We can't, because our minds, there are no words to explain it. So tonight, first of all, Acts 2:21. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, that's salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Interestingly enough, let's remember that a lot of folk in the world will refuse. There are people that refuse to call on the name of the Lord in the dying process. You cannot talk them into it. You cannot, and believe me, there's many people that have tried to talk someone in, cry out to God, cry out to God. Without them being under conviction, it's not going to happen. They will not. They will curse God. They will curse their families. They'll curse their parents. They'll curse everybody around them. But they will not. That's something that you and I cannot grasp. For I've heard many over the years that would tell me, well, anybody that's incarcerated, anybody locked up, every one of them's going to accept Jesus. Well, sadly, that's not the fact, because and a lot of people make those statements when they have never been there or they have never witnessed the lives of individuals who have truly hardened their heart to where they refuse. But now, once you call on the name of the Lord, what does it truly mean from that point? Each of us need to understand that we have a new identity. That new identity now is Christian. We are called Christians because of Christ. We're the followers of Christ. Does anybody remember the first name, though, before they were called Christians, the first believers how they were referred to? It was the Way. It was the way, that's that group of people that's in the way. You know, they're falling in that way, and they were called, the Christians were called many other things prior to be calling Christian, but again, I bring to you all's memory the several years back when there was a push on about a focus on the way. There was a Bible out that had the way on it, and that refers straight back to that. No change in the scripture, none of that. It was just an idea of a study of what were they first Christians first called. Now, once we understand that because we are Christians, God says that we're chosen. He says that we're priests. He says that we're holy, and he says that we're family. Now, the meaning, again, of my salvation, this just scratches the surface. Because the true meaning that we search for in what does it really mean to be saved, you and I, again, we can't totally grasp it. But we do know what God tells us, 1 Peter 2:9-10. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, let me stop there a moment. Many will try, and I'm talking about teachers and all. Going back on that message this morning, when we're looking at the haters of the cross, when you're looking at people who put the cross down, when I say many are in among us, they're among them. I don't know how in depth I got with that this morning, but we need to understand that many Christians will foolishly be pulled astray from presenting the cross of Christ to going back to works and all of the other things that we want to add to that salvation. Well, folks, I'm saved. Therefore, I'm saved because of the cross of who Christ is. But when Peter is speaking, calling us the chosen people, the royal priesthood, what is being taught is, yes, that was talking about the Jewish nation. Peter's talking to the church, folks. Peter's talking to the church, the first century church. Yes, he was talking to the Jews and all of us who adopted into that family of God. So when he calls us the royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that is why Christ came, to bring in whosoever will let them come. Remember, the Jewish nation refused to take the message to the Gentiles. That was their whole problem with God. God, you made us into a great nation. Well, what did they do all those years? They kept going against God's word. And time after time, God would lead them out and give them that victory because they were his chosen people. Finally, because of their attitude and all, God says, okay, if you're not going to take the message, I will choose the Gentiles. Oh, and remember all the trouble that caused in the first century church with Jesus, you know, and Apostle Paul and them going out to the Gentile world saying, okay, whosoever will, let them come. And then the proper Jewish rabbis and all just got all upset because if they are going to be saved, now remember that. Remember Paul getting into it with Apostle Peter over this too. Because Peter was going along with the Judaizers at this time. And what they were saying was, now that you know Jesus, you must be circumcised. And because that then will make you the Jew, a part of our family. And then Paul goes wild on Peter. Peter and them get into it. Folks, they fought back and forth. You would think that it was a modern-day Baptist church as to exactly what was going on at this time. So Peter then, when Paul confronted him with this, Peter says, yeah, you're right, I do know. Well, when he says, I do know, then Peter changed and said, you're right, Paul, that they don't have to become Jewish through circumcision and all of this. Well, they got that argument down, and they finally agree on it, but there was a problem. The Christian faith, in when we say we're saved, meaning all of these facts about we're chosen, we're priest, we're holy, we're the family of God, nowhere in Scripture will you ever see to where God turned his back on his family. But you will see where God's family turned their back on him, the nation, Israel. The Jewish nation turned a back on the Word of God and what they promised God they would do. So what did God allow to happen? He allowed them to go off into slavery, Babylonian captivity, and he had them spread out because they sinned against God. What have they tried to do? When we're talking about what it means to be saved, it means that when we become a part of the family of God, we will always be a part of the family of God. And if you're part of the family of God, God says, act like it. Act like it. And if you don't act like it, I will chasten you. Therefore, now that I'm saved, so what do I expect? I expect that when I get out of line, that God is going to chastise me. Now, just like a parent, any parent, your kid needs a good hair pulling or whatever, you'll give it to them. But God have mercy on the stranger that decides that they're going to straighten your kid out. And the same thing true with what it means to be saved. Each of us belong to God's family. And if there's any teaching, training, chastising, correction, he said, I'll do it. The world does not have that authority. Okay. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Now let me tell you, for us, the Gentile nation, who are the Gentiles? A Gentile is anyone that's not a Jew. If you're not a Jew, then you are a Gentile. So, but now you are the people of God. Okay, interesting. God says, being saved, Larry, and he includes you in that too. Anything, yeah. And you and Webster and everything. God looks at us and he says, now, you belong to me. Now, meaning this, what it means to be saved. Nobody can mess with us without first going through God the Father. And if they do, they're in trouble with our Father who is in heaven. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy. See, this is what Jesus brought. Remember? All the prophets talked about the Messiah coming. All of the great generation that was going to be born at the coming of Christ, which is us, and the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit of grace and mercy. Oh, they said that day is coming, yet they never got to see it themselves. They died, never getting to see it. But once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Okay, what it means for us in salvation is that we are saved by that grace through Jesus Christ. And because of our belief in him, our faith in Christ, and through our faith of what Christ has done, we receive the mercy. Through grace, unmerited favor. So meaning we are locked in now. Now, so why do so many Christians worry? You know, still one of the greatest fears, it seems like, that you will talk to with Christians or non-Christians alike, happens to be dying, death. And death, you know, has so much control. You talk to anyone just about. Whether they talk about, I don't mind dying, I just don't want to go through the process. And if I could just lay down, go to sleep, and wake up in heaven, that's fine. Well, some people do that, folks. But I'll tell you this. It doesn't matter what type of death. It doesn't matter how that it is done. When God allows it, you're automatically there. Whether you lay down and went to sleep and woke up in heaven, when God says you're saved, our problem is we act like we don't trust God and don't believe him a lot of times. Now, why would I say that? Simply because if I know that I'm saved and God is in control and that what I preach is the truth, then why do I fear it? Why do I fear it? I fear it. You will fight it because of your human nature, the human part, because of the natural fears of the human existence. Do I believe that that as soon as I close my eyes in death, that my spirit is going to be with the Lord? Absolutely, I do. But let me remind you, focus on being saved. Let me remind you of something. I am saved. This body is a mess. The humanist within me, the spiritual, salvation is spiritual. Our Father in heaven, spiritual. Therefore, we have this physical body. So what does the body do? It fights against death. It doesn't matter what's happening, you can't get your breath, what do? You're panicked because your body doesn't want to die, because at the beginning of creation, we were never created to die. So being saved now, that saved part is the real me, the real you in there. But this physical condition that we're in, we are going to do everything we can to fight it. If a doctor says, look, we can do this, they'll give you a chance. What do we do? Do it. Do it. Unless you've gotten to a point to where you've hurt so much, the pain is so great of staying here, that you say, let God do it. But do you know we'll still fight it? Your body, your reflexes will do it. If you're not afraid to die, then how come you try to protect yourself when that guy was after you with a knife? How come you did that if you have no fear? Because that's the human condition. So therefore, God says, here's what it means when we are saved. It means we are in Christ. Now that in itself, being in Christ, is a study of its own. A study of its own. But being saved means in Christ. God now views us through the heart of his Son. He views us through the heart of his Son. When you and I view ourselves, are we not the greatest critics of our own life? Do we not do more criticizing about what we have done than anybody? Have you ever had somebody say, go ahead and say anything you want? I've already beaten myself up over what has happened with me, what I have done. But you see, being saved is different than when I was out here into the world. I can be saved and have the case of the stupids and be in the world. But for me now, knowing to be in Christ, the reason we don't understand such saving grace and mercy that God sees and gives to us, God looks at us through the heart of his Son. God doesn't see sin in us. We see sin in us. When to be saved means God looks at us as though we are already with him, as though he's seeing it through the heart of his own Son. Did not Jesus focus his whole love towards us in that, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them? And therefore, when Jesus gave his all on that cross and he said, it is finished, man, our salvation's finished. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So therefore, when God looks at us and we say, why, how could he even forgive me again and again and again? Because he sees Jesus in us. And there's no way one drop of blood of his son will ever see condemnation. Not going to happen. Being saved means Jesus has made us acceptable. Now, on that first part there, when you look at your own life and you have the ideas, okay, this is how I've seen me being saved, and what does that mean? Any of you want to give an example for your own life or how you would view this or to view the scripture itself? At Peter, it's funny. You got to remember this. Peter had to come a long way to come back and to even agree with Apostle Paul. All the other disciples had to come a long way to start forgiving one another. And can't you picture them from the human standpoint of saying, yeah, but you ran first. Well, that's fine, Peter, but I heard you cursing just to prove that you weren't him. I never cursed, so therefore your sin is greater. Why would they do that? They're still in that human carcass, and I must call it that. Because are we not told to die to the world? Are we not told to die to the selfish desires of the human condition? I'm still pretty much alive in all of that. Now you think of it. I know that I'm saved. And I know that I can count it as though I'm already in heaven. What I don't know is the dumb things I'm going to do tomorrow are sad that I shouldn't have. You can focus on this in your life all you want. And as soon as you get to that point where you said, okay, I got it. I got this. And the Lord warned us. He said, don't get cocky of thinking. That, you know, you look, oh, it's like the prayer that the Pharisee prayed. And I thank you, Father, that I'm not a sinner like the rest of them and all of this. So we will battle that war all the way till we leave this body. Any of you have any concept of that you've grown in from being saved that you never really looked at when focusing on that? Always make sure that you pay close attention to your own feelings and what it means to you. Yes, go ahead.
Well, I come here, and you know, I'm not here all the time, which is a bad thing, but I had heard you preach so many times that we as humans in our human condition, we want to hang on to that last absolute shred of control for our lives.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you, I gave it all to God. I mean, I let him have that. I put that last little shred away, and I have let him have
it. How many times have you taken it back?
I ain't.
Well, you will.
I
won't cheer you up with that one, but yeah, you will. Because as soon as you think you've got it, that's when God shows you you don't.
I know I don't.
Here's what you got problems with. You and I, as long as we're walking on 2 feet, we are going to sin. Our tongue is going to rattle and flop at both ends. And the God says, as a matter of fact, it can't be tamed. And God also looks to our heart. And as God looks within our heart, he says, I see now. The man's heart is evil continually. You know, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm saved now. I'm saved. Well, yes, the heart of Christ that I accepted is working just fine. But the human nature heart, well, I'm not talking about the pump. I'm talking about the spirit that we have from the human condition. We are going to fall and we're going to falter. And sadly, folks, sometimes we will fall so hard that we cry out unto God through our agony of why would I ever even think of something like that instead of, and especially even follow through with it. What people look at as not sin, God looks at us and says, he who says he is without sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. He who looks at himself as being perfected are so far away from perfection that they don't know what they're talking about. I have found, and Faye has told me several times, I have found in my life that I've talked about things and I didn't have any idea what I was talking about. And another one of my wife's favorite statements was when I, that Faye, there's some people out there that don't like me. Yeah? Well, did you ever stop to think there's more out there that don't like you than do? So, God gave me a wife to keep me humble. But he gave us a Savior to forgive us through our ignorance. Picture Peter. Remember, let's go back to this. When people said, see, Peter wasn't saved. What? Good gracious. Well, he cursed just to prove that he didn't know Jesus. He wanted everybody to know he was like everyone else. So how could a person saved do that? God, we seem to find it's quite easy for us to do. Different situations that we'll find that we're in family groups or something. Something is said or so, and we keep silent. We're silent when we should speak, and when we should be silent, we speak. Did I get that right? Yeah. Sometimes the Lord said, shut up. And sometimes the Lord says, speak up. So you and I, in our saved condition, battle. Oh gosh, I got to say this right. I sort of said, battle the unsaved part. Well, I'm saved, okay? But the human part is the battle, not my new nature. Remember, I've said this. You all have heard it until you're probably tired of it. But listen, folks, Satan doesn't mess with my new nature. He got more sin. Satan is smart enough to know the one that threw him out of heaven. And he's not going to come back and attack my new nature. He attacks us in the old nature. Yes, ma'am.
I think sometimes we make a mistake with just not saying something we should have said.
Yeah. That's the omission. Sin of omission. When God said, yeah, you can come with the sin of commission, you've committed this sin. Well, the sin of omission is as grievous as the sin of commission, omission. I know the Lord was dealing with me to say something, but I just didn't want to rock the boat. Just too much going on. I just didn't want to say anything. And yet, we're still saved. See, it's... the ultimate love is the ultimate salvation. If we'd done something, let's say that we had focused on, I'm going to make sure I don't sin. I'm going to make sure I'm going to make it through this day without sin. I'm going to make it through. Well, for one thing, when you get that thought in your mind, you just sinned. Because God says that all are sinners. Continual tense. We sin. And the more we think about not wanting to sin, what happens? We sin. But doctor tells you not to do something, remember on the button I showed with you on? Don't push the button. Well, what'd you tell me not to push the button for? If you hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have dared push the button. Now I'm going to go nuts wanting to push the button. Don't push the button. Well, I didn't, because I didn't know what happened. But that's our nature, isn't it? Do you ever catch yourself as soon, you know, you done find you was getting ready to do something like everybody wanted you to do. But then they come up and say, you will do this. All of a sudden, no, I won't. I got a mother like that. I'm like that. Yeah, you know, it's ingrained in us from the human part. Don't tell me what I can't do. Well, God says, you're my child. Randy, I'm going to love you even if everybody throughout the rest of the world hates you. Well, that's what being saved is. It's just like the idea of a real mother is going to love you no matter what happens to what, no matter what you do. All the cases, the real mother is going to love you. And the one who does not have that motherly instinct, not going to love you, period. We do know that a biological birth does not a parent make at all. If so, biologically, I wasn't born of God's family. I was saved into God's family through his son. Salvation for the Christian is the focus of Jesus made us acceptable to God. Okay, if that, and we say that it is, and I believe that, you all do too. Jesus, what he's done has made us acceptable. Then why are we so worried about the world accepting us as a Christian? The world's never going to accept Christ. So why would they accept those who follow Christ? The enemies of the cross have been from the beginning. Now, if you really look at that, good study for you, Brother Randy, go all the way back to the beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis, and you will find that the cross had the enemy right from the beginning, Satan. It's always been the same enemy, folks. It hasn't changed. Our enemies are not each other. The ones that's going to bring us down are not the humans in our life. It's the spirit that we allow to control our life. Can a Christian veer off of the path of his walk with Christ? Can that Christian bear away from that path and end up flat down, unable to, their mission God's called them has really been hampered because of the actions of the Christian? Can Christians go out and mess up to the point that the Christian's witness is destroyed? But that Christian can never get to the point to where their connection to God the Father can be destroyed. That's what it means to be saved. It means that I belong, I am my mother's son. That means that, look, I am a human being, and in this human condition, God says that I will spend my life studying what it means to be saved. Faye, you will remember Billy again. Bring him up. Remember when Jim Dent, Chaplain Dent, said, Larry, I've got to rethink my whole salvation process. I got to rethink it all. I never saw a man walking so close to the Lord to turn around and throw it all away in rape. He said, I've got to sit down and rethink it. It's not
still a Christian.
Yes, yeah. And when I put him in the grave, when I did his service, I told you all, I wept. I mean, I saw something in that young man it was just something there. And it was all destroyed. And how would I know that? When I went out in that field to find him before the police did, to bring him in, when he came from underneath that cedar tree, he said, "Take me to prison, Larry. I don't want a trial. I don't want to just. I don't. I'm not fit to be free on the outside. Take me to prison." Now you talk about the breaking again for me and for him. It was beyond me. Because he had such a heart, had such a gift, that people that would hear him sing, the people that get around him, I mean, they just could see him glowing. What happened? The human condition fighting the salvation fact. How many times do you hear individuals in the world say, "Well, now, does that sound like a Christian?" Oh, gosh, I've heard that so many times. Would a Christian do that? Yeah, Christians do just about anything. Anybody else will do. Because it's a human desire, the human nature. So what must we do? Do we not spend a whole lifetime, a whole life, in as a Christian even, a whole period of time as a Christian, wanting to do what is right, and yet, looking at the things that we've went through that very day and see nothing but a mess out of it? Or we will view it that way. And maybe rightly so when it comes from the human standpoint. But let me tell you, folks, you can't touch that because I'm saved in Christ. Christ in me. So if, as God tells us, we're in Christ, why would he not look to Christ? If Christ said, "Father, I have prayed for them. These that I prayed for, you have given to me. And Father, I have not lost one except for the one of perdition," or perdition meaning one of hell. And he was the devil from the beginning. Isn't that interesting that Jesus knew that and loved him? I wished I had the Barabbas thing down here. Webster, you all, there is it's on YouTube, but it's a focus of Barabbas. And this young preacher sang about why Barabbas and why did Jesus not say anything when the crowd was picking Barabbas to turn him loose, one who was fully guilty and deserved it? And yet Jesus didn't say a word against them picking Barabbas. And anyway, you will see coming. It takes about 8 minutes to watch it, so I don't think it'll work on Sunday morning. But it was the idea, one of the folks was, it was because God the Father had to look at Jesus as being Barabbas before he could look at Barabbas being Jesus. And, you know, you get to looking that meaning, the conquering of evil totally, that God would reject his son, which we saw on the cross, and in order to love Barabbas. You will as soon as you see the clip, and I'll make sure you see that. And you can. It's that deals with the ultimate love of God. That's why it came. If Barabbas, if they had offered to set Jesus free, Jesus wouldn't have taken it. That's why he came, remember? That's why he came. But, okay, I will show you all that one day. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to hit these, because I have no idea. I want us to look at them and go through them. I don't want us to rush it, because you've got all sorts of scripture here. I'll use it next Sunday. We'll do the same thing, or not that first scripture, but we'll go through these. Maybe some nights we'll get through them, and some nights we won't. But it's very important to understand something. Anytime you're dealing with the Word of God and dealing with eternity and the truth, don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Don't just say, and we need to be careful with ourselves. Well, I want to read the Bible through this year. Well, I'd rather you study the Bible and take 5 years than just to read it through, because you'll get focused on really reading it through rather than letting it read through you. Yep. Yeah. But you know what I want to encourage folks to do? I'd love to see folk read the New Testament. And before you read the whole New Testament, how about just reading, taking time to read the four Gospels? And I mean read in prayer. I'm not talking about speed reading through. I'm talking about reading it. Dr. Carol Hubbard would tell us, and in my younger days, you know, I thought, what is wrong with all these old professors? They just don't get it. We got to get out there and get it. He says, he was the one who said, a 20-minute sermon, when before you preach a 20-minute sermon, you need to understand, you need to put an hour's worth of study for every minute you preach. So, gosh, I'd be gray and, you know, dead trying to get through one sermon. Now I know exactly what he meant. You know exactly what he meant. But, and then he said, and then when you get that, you savor it. You allow it to become a part of your spiritual palate. Now there again, young 30-year-old listening to him thinking, you're going to have to speed this up, Dr. Hubbard, because I'm about to go to sleep back here. The greatest professors I had almost put me to sleep. It was my fault. I know now, looking, I'd give anything to get to sit back under them. That's that sinful nature of man.